holiday warm fuzzies we get from gathering with loved ones or lending a hand can last all year long when you choose joy and help empower struggling families in the U.S. and around the world this season. Learn more at worldvision.org. Those holiday warm fuzzies we get from gathering with loved ones or lending a hand can last all year long when you choose joy and help empower struggling families in the U.S. and around the world this season. Learn more at worldvision.org.
When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit noggin.com for terms and conditions. When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit noggin.com for terms and conditions.
Hey, Randy, what you doing?
Oh, hey, Dave. I'm just making a list of things that make me feel really, really good.
Wearing Bombas socks.
Trust me, that's number one on my list. Bombas socks feel so good because we use the smartest design and best materials, making them the most comfortable socks ever.
Plus, because socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters, we donate a pair for every pair purchased, and that feels pretty good too.
To shop Bombas or learn more about how your purchase supports those experiencing homelessness, go to bombas.com/comfy and get 20% off your first purchase.
Those holiday warm fuzzies we get from gathering with loved ones or lending a hand can last all year long when you choose joy and help empower struggling families in the U.S. and around the world this season. Learn more at worldvision.org.
Hi, I'm Randy, and this is Dave.
We're the founders of Bombas, the most comfortable socks in the history of feet.
So comfortable, we sold and donated millions of pairs.
To sell and donate a lot of socks, we became obsessed with comfort.
We reinvented the sock from the ground up, adding comfort innovations along the way.
It worked. People tried them, loved them, told their friends about them.
Helping us sell and donate millions of pairs.
Try them now at bombas.com/comfy and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/comfy.
Socks are the number one most requested item at homeless shelters. Underwear second, and shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear, and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.
Hi, I'm Randy, and this is Dave.
We're the founders of Bombas, the most comfortable socks in the history of feet.
So comfortable, we sold and donated millions of pairs.
To sell and donate a lot of socks, we became obsessed with comfort.
We reinvented the sock from the ground up, adding comfort innovations along the way.
It worked. People tried them, loved them, told their friends about them.
Helping us sell and donate millions of pairs.
Try them now at bombas.com/comfy and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/comfy.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Eric Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this week's program, we have Josh Miller. Josh is the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering content related to the NFL's Cincinnati Bengals. We discussed the Bengals game against the Steelers, the Bengals offense and defense. We also talked the Bengals next game against the Los Angeles Chargers. We also talk about the Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow and so much more, plus a preview of Week 13's most important games in the NFL. On behalf of myself and everybody on staff, I'd just like to wish you and yours, I hope you had a very safe and a very happy Thanksgiving. Now let's get you caught up on the scores from the most important games from Week 12 in the NFL. Let's start off with the Cincinnati Bengals. They were at home hosting the AFC North rival Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bengals demolished the Steelers 41-10. We had an NFC East showdown between the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. The Giants hold on to beat the Eagles 13-7. The Tennessee Titans squared off against the New England Patriots. It was all Patriots. New England would win 36-13. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers come back from behind to beat the Indianapolis Colts 38-31. The Los Angeles Chargers squared off against the Denver Broncos in an AFC West showdown. It was all Denver. Broncos would win 28-13. The Minnesota Vikings squared off against the San Francisco 49ers in a tough and very physical game out west, out in the Bay in Santa Clara, California. The 49ers would go on to beat the Vikings, final score 34-26. So we had a good game at Lambeau Field between the Los Angeles Rams and the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers dazzled with his arm. The defense made plays when it had to, and the running game did its part. Green Bay would go on to beat the Los Angeles Rams 36-28. Sunday Night Football was between the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. Despite Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson throwing four interceptions, the Ravens hold on to beat the Browns 16-10 in an AFC North showdown. And Monday Night Football saw the Seattle Seahawks going up against the Washington Football Team. Seattle continues their struggles as the Washington Football Team would go on to beat the Seahawks 17-15. And those were your most important games from Week 12 in the NFL. All right, now it's time for my top three storylines. I want to start off with the Washington Football Team. Man, what a November it was for the WFT. They are currently on a three-game winning streak. In Week 10, a home game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, surprising everybody, beating TB12, Tom Brady, and the defending champion Buccaneers. Then going on the road in Week 11 in Charlotte to take on the Carolina Panthers. They would beat the Panthers in a close one, 27-21. And then in Week 12, this past Monday night, beating the Seattle Seahawks on the road at FedEx Field. I tell you one thing, Seattle is currently on a three-game winning streak, and right now the schedule seems winnable where Washington can win out the rest of the way. They're at Las Vegas, they have Dallas, then they're at Philly, and then they're at Dallas again, and then they're at Las Vegas, then they play Dallas at home, then they're at Philly, then they play Dallas again at Jerry World, then they have a home game against Philadelphia again, and then they end the year at the Giants at MetLife. So this is a winnable schedule for the Washington Football Team. They have a chance to win the NFC East. I mean, Dallas was the front runner to win this thing, but they've had a lot of injuries as of late, several players being on the COVID list. So this is favorable for the Washington Football Team. Again, a lot is riding for Washington this year. Taylor Heineke looking to be the team's franchise quarterback. They've got a great running game with Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissick. Terry McLaurin has been playing beautifully this year. Also, DeAndre Carter's played nice this year. Defensively, Washington is just stout with Landon Collins, Kendall Fuller. Also, you got Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne and Shaka Toney. Washington can cause a fear in a lot of people's hearts, not just in the NFC East, but throughout the NFL. It's going to be interesting how this plays out going forward. But Washington, I mean, it's all in their favor right now. They can win out and easily win the NFC East. My next storyline is going to be the Seattle Seahawks. Man, what a horrible November it's been for the Seahawks. Man, what a horrible year it's been for Seattle. Seattle's on a three-game losing streak. Losing to Green Bay in Week 10, losing to Arizona in Week 11, and then losing on Monday night to the Washington Football Team. I don't know what the heck is going on in Seattle. This may be the end of an era with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. And how about the Monday night game where DK Metcalf only got one catch for 13 yards? That's just uncalled for. And then on top of that, you have running backs that stay hurt or just inconsistent. Chris Carson on injured reserve. Alex Collins, he plays, you know, he's okay, but he plays in spurts. Same thing for DJ Dallas and Travis Homer and Rashad Penny. With a quarterback like Russell Wilson and with wide receivers like Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, this team should not be at the bottom in every offensive category in the league, especially in a pass offense. And defensively, Seattle, I don't know what to say. They're pretty bad, with the exception of Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams, and also with Quandre Diggs. But Seattle, if they have any chance to make the, if they have any chance of trying to play in the playoffs, they're going to have to win out the rest of the way, and it's going to be tough. San Francisco, Houston, Rams, Bears, Lions, and Cardinals. It's going to be tough, and it's not going to be easy. And Russell Wilson and quite possibly Pete Carroll's days are numbered in Seattle, man. It's just really a fall from grace from just, you know, many moons ago when they won the Super Bowl with Russell's play and, of course, with beast mode Marshawn Lynch running the ball. And then you've got the Legion of Boom with that defense, man. They've got to get it together in Seattle. There's going to be some tough times ahead up in the Pacific Northwest. And for my last storyline is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati currently on a two-game winning streak in Week 11. They beat the Las Vegas Raiders, and then they came off of a big AFC North divisional showdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, Cincinnati is on a roll right now. They've got a tough schedule ahead of them, but they have a shot at winning the AFC North. They've got the Chargers coming up. They've got the 49ers. They're at Denver. Then you've got Baltimore, Kansas City, and you end the year at Cleveland. So, again, it's no small potatoes, but Cincinnati, they've got the roster. They've got the franchise quarterback with Joe Burrow. They can run the ball well. And sky's really the limit for this young Bengal team. And, again, their defense plays, they play a hard-hitting, hard-nosed style of play for the AFC North. It's going to be interesting how this thing plays out. Remember, Cleveland is not at their best right now. Cleveland's been in and out. Baker Mayfield dealing with an injury. Pittsburgh has been so-so this year. So you got Pittsburgh, you got Cleveland, Cincinnati. Baltimore is really the one team that Cincinnati's chasing after. And again, Lamar Jackson on this past Sunday night game where he threw four interceptions against Cleveland and he still won the game. But, you know, offensively, Cleveland is where they need to be right now. They've got it in check with Jamar Chase. Also, you've got Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. I mean, this is really sky's the limit. And it's just going to get better for the Bengals. And speaking of the Bengals, coming up after the break, I have the exclusive interview with Josh Miller. Josh is the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show. The podcast is dedicated to covering content related to the National Football League's Cincinnati Bengals. I ask him about some of the key players on the Bengals team, such as Jamar Chase, Trey Hendrickson, and, of course, the quarterback, Joe Burrow. And, again, that concludes segment number one of my top three storylines. Josh is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
Socks are the number one most requested item at homeless shelters. Underwear second, and shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear, and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.
When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit noggin.com for terms and conditions.
Socks are the number one most requested item at homeless shelters. Underwear second, and shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear, and shirts too. All designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.
When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit noggin.com for terms and conditions.
Stella Rosa Wines is giving you another reason to celebrate this holiday season. You have the chance at winning $500 for yourself. And surprise a loved one of yours by giving them $500 of their own.
Just text WISH to 60688 to enter. Must be 21 plus. Standard message and data rates apply. Please celebrate responsibly.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa!
Hi, I'm Randy, and this is Dave.
We're the founders of Bombas, the most comfortable socks in the history of feet.
So comfortable, we sold and donated millions of pairs.
To sell and donate a lot of socks, we became obsessed with comfort.
We reinvented the sock from the ground up, adding comfort innovations along the way.
It worked. People tried them, loved them, told their friends about them.
Helping us sell and donate millions of pairs.
Try them now at bombas.com/comfy and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/comfy.
When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit noggin.com for terms and conditions. When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit noggin.com for terms and conditions. When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit noggin.com for terms and conditions.
Ready?
It's a second down and 5, and here goes Nixon with an ISO over that left side and blocking downfield. One of the blockers, Jamar Chase.
Mixon getting off to a great start here. The left side of the offensive line, he's able to get through there. Bush comes up and only gets a hand on him.
Second goal. Burrow, Mixon, and digging his way, and touchdown. There he goes. In for 6. And the Bengals increase their lead to 23-3 over the Steelers. Still have Prince in there at the right tackle. Here's a handoff, and it goes to Mixon. Oh, he's making a miss. What a great move. He got by Pierre, and now he's off to the races and shoved out of bounds by Edmonds. Pierre thought he had him right in his sights. Takes it into Pittsburgh territory.
Mixon's trying to run to his left, our right. He cuts it back, and Pierre is there one-on-one and gives him a juke, hops in and back out. Gets around the edge. What a day he's having.
Mixon in the backfield. Higgins, by the way, over 100 receiving yards today. Burrow, Mixon, touchdown. Mixon has scored again. His second touchdown run. Some choreography.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio is courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports, and that audio you heard was Cincinnati Bengals running back Joe Mixon doing his thing in action as the Bengals would go on to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 12 on November the 28th of 2021. And to talk more about Joe Mixon as well as Joe Burrow and the rest of the Bengals offense and defense and that impressive win over the Pittsburgh Steelers and so much more, we want to welcome to the program the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show, Josh Miller. Josh, welcome to the program.
Ed, how you doing, man? Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm doing well, sir. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So let's get right to it. Give me your takeaways from the Cincinnati Bengals win over the AFC North rival Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, first, I got to look at it as a longtime fan. I mean, it felt so good to finally beat those guys the way that we did. Because not only was it a fluke game, it wasn't like last year when we played with Ryan Finley. No, this was all of our guys were healthy, and we went across, and we went toe-to-toe. We basically just beat them into submission. And, you know, the first week we played them, Tyler Boyd made the mention that the Pittsburgh quit. And, well, we made them quit again. We made them quit twice, and it was great to see. It wasn't a fluke. It was just a straight-up domination.
All right, yeah, it definitely was a domination just watching that game. I mean, on every aspect of the ball, both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, the Bengals made their presence felt in this game. We're going to get talk more into this game right now. I want to start off with the running game. The audio that I played earlier, Joe Mixon, wow, what a talent he is. Only in like his second year in the league. In this game, Joe had 28 carries for 165 yards and two rushing touchdowns. I mean, he went off in this game. Josh, give me your thoughts on Joe's performance in this game and his performance so far in this 2021 NFL season.
Well, there was a lot of questions to Joe Mixon coming out of last year, especially with the brand-new contract that he got. I mean, 4 years with a lot of money tacked onto it. And, you know, in this league, there's a lot of questioning when it comes to paying running backs. But now he's showing, and it's all paying dividends. And it's a lot to say to not only Joe Mixon, but it's to say to the entire offense. Because for the first part of this year, it's been heavily relied on we've been relying pretty much on the pass and relying on Jamar Chase and T. Higgins to get open. Now, finally, this running game is starting to open wide open, and the offensive line had themselves a great day. And then Joe Mixon just capitalized, and he runs so hard, and he's just a perfect example of an AFC North back. And it was just great to see him have the game that he did, and hopefully it continues in the future.
Yeah, I wanted this to stand corrected. This is Joe's fifth year in the league, and, man, he has he's paid off big dividends so far, an effective rookie year. Then he had back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons in 2018, 2019. The COVID year last year was a little off, but this year he's really, really getting back on track. So Joe is an important part to this very young Bengals team. And I want to get now to the wide receiver position. I want to start off with T. Higgins out of Clemson. He had six catches for 114 yards, and he had a touchdown in this game. So he had a fantastic performance in this game against the Steelers. Give me your thoughts on T and his performance in this game and his 2021 season so far.
I think T. Higgins did one thing. He scared the rest of the NFL, because now you can't just take away Jamar Chase and the Bengals offense is done. I mean, if you look at T. Higgins, if you look at just the size and the body and the speed of him, he just dominates cornerbacks. And when you look at T. Higgins' touchdown pass, you go back and look at it, the cornerback had literally no chance. It was almost like he wasn't even there because of how big and how strong T. Higgins was. And he hasn't been in the offense a lot in the first part of the year. And it was great to see him really kind of take off in this game and the last couple of games as well. It's basically the Bengals offense is starting to use all their weapons, and this is basically saying the NFL, try to stop us. So T. Higgins I can't wait for him to continue to shine, and Jamar Chase is doing his job. He's taking the top off. He's taking the safeties away. So now Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins are going to keep opening up and opening up, and we're just going to be able – and then once that gets taken away, we just go right back to Joe Mixon, and then he has 165 yards. So we're basically looking at the NFL and say, try to stop us.
Yeah, and I want to stay with these receivers for a moment. I want to get to Jamar in just a moment, but Tyler Boyd. I mean, Tyler Boyd has really been a key ingredient to this receiving core. Just give me. I know Tyler had only had two catches for 13 yards, but his presence has been major in this season for Cincinnati. Give me your thoughts on Tyler and his 2021 season.
So before the bye, there was obviously the game versus the Jets and the Browns, which were two straight losses and honestly two straight embarrassing losses. And one of the constant questions that I had was, where is Tyler Boyd? And then you go back to the stats. I think he only had two catches against the Jets and then three targets against the Browns. And if you go back to last year, Tyler Boyd was literally Mr. Third Down. He was doing everything on third down. But obviously now with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and, a lot more options to go to and a lot more health to this team, he doesn't really get as many targets. However, he does do a lot for this offense. He basically takes away a lot of that safety valve, that slot. So it's going to keep opening up the downfield throw. And then eventually, again, like I said, once Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are covered, Tyler Boyd's going to open back up. And then on those third downs and those big conversions, he's going to shine. And that's really what really he does shine is on those third downs, those clutch, maybe those 5, 6 yards, 7 yard type of plays. So Tyler Boyd, as much as we would love to see him get more targets, he's still doing the off-ball stuff enough to get the other receivers open to continue this offense and continually move this forward and keep the train rolling.
Another part of this big receiving core, Josh, is the tight end C.J. Uzomah. And I know he only had three catches for 9 yards in this game against Pittsburgh. But C.J. has had a nice year for Cincinnati so far. Just give me your thoughts on C.J. and how he's played in this 2021 season.
CJ does a lot, not only on the field, but off the field as well. You can tell by the energy of this guy and what he brings to the locker room. Well, I mean, NFL is just such a grind. It's a 17-game season. It's, these are grown men bashing each other in the skull, you know, every single day. CJ still brings a light and an energy and a camaraderie, and he's been there since the start. He's been there since 2015, so he's seen winning and losing, and he's been able to keep this locker room together and help them through the hard times, and I think he does that. Now, on the field, CJ is almost for the early part of the year. There's been games where he's either disappeared or he's shined completely, and a lot of times it has to do with the scheme of the game, but he's still doing his job quite a bit. His blocking has gotten significantly better. And again, and then again, he's had games where he's completely taken over and he's won us the game with his performances. I always look back to the game against Jacksonville on Thursday night, and Joe Burrow looked at him twice, where CJ was able to get two touchdowns. So I want to see him get more involved towards the back half of the season, because I think the more you can get CJ involved, the better it can be. They've been throwing him a lot of tight end screens, and it worked again against the Jacksonville, but it hasn't really worked since. So hopefully they draw some new routes for him, and hopefully we can get him the ball more.
And, of course, we got to talk about Ja'Marr Chase. And LSU has been a factory, Josh, when it comes to producing great wide receivers. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Terrace Marshall Jr. Also, you could put Dwayne Bowe in the mix as well, Malachi Dupree. I mean, the talent has just been phenomenal in terms of wide receiver talent at LSU, such as Reuben Randall, Trendon Holiday, and early Doucette. And you can also add Ja'Marr Chase to the mix as well. And, of course, we can't forget about Justin Jefferson. Last year, Justin Jefferson had a breakout year with the Minnesota Vikings. Now, we know that Mac Jones is having a pretty good rookie campaign for the New England Patriots, but Ja'Marr Chase has been outstanding. Ja'Marr, unfortunately, he only had like 3 catches for 39 yards in the win against Pittsburgh. But give me your thoughts on Ja'Marr and his rookie campaign this year, and what do you think his chances are of winning Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I mean, Ja'Marr's just been nothing short of outstanding of where he was and where people thought the expectation was and where he was in the preseason to where he is now. Now, you are seeing his targets maybe start to go down, but a lot of that has to do with the spreading of the wealth, and that's what's going to make this offense far better. So if we just look at the Pittsburgh game, obviously he didn't have the biggest game or the flashiest game, didn't have that many targets, had I think 2 or 3. But if you go back and you look at the All-22, you look and you see on the running game, they love to have Ja'Marr on the strong side of the field when Joe Mixon's running the ball. And Ja'Marr Chase is one of the best blocking wide receivers I have seen ever. Forget rookie, forget anything. Blocking wide receivers ever. You go back to when they played against Detroit, and Ja'Marr Chase had the key significant block for Joe Mixon to get I believe it was like a 45-yard touchdown. So it's not only what Ja'Marr Chase does with the ball in his hand, it's what he does without the ball in his hand. And that's what's the most impressive to me. First, I do believe that he should be Rookie of the Year. I would put my money on that he is going to be the Rookie of the Year. The problem is Mac Jones has definitely made a resurgence, but it's all going to be, will the Patriots regress back to the mean, or will they continue to skyrocket? And if that happens, then Mac Jones will probably win it. And, you know, that's the tip of the cap. But, again, personally, I think Ja'Marr Chase is, because, again, not only what he does with the ball in his hand, which just speaks for itself, but what he does without the ball in his hand.
Yeah, rightfully so. And I'm with you on that one. It all depends what happens with New England going forward. If New England plays well and Mac puts up the numbers, and then he could get it. But, man, Ja'Marr Chase is just he's been phenomenal. He's definitely going to be a talent that definitely Cincinnati is definitely benefiting off of as of right now. And speaking of benefiting off of Ja'Marr Chase, we'll get into his teammate from LSU, Joe Burrow, in just a little bit. But I want to get to the defensive side of the football. I want to start off with, man, Trey Hendrickson. What a steal that Cincinnati got from him in the offseason. The New Orleans Saints, he had some good seasons with the New Orleans Saints, but Trey Hendrickson has made his presence felt in this season with the Bengals. He had 2 tackles and a sack against the Steelers. Give me your thoughts on Trey and his performance in the game against Pittsburgh and his 2021 campaign.
I mean, Trey has just been nothing but well worth the money that we paid for him. And we paid him a lot of money. We paid him for 4 years, and he's just been absolutely outstanding. He already has the single-season record for sacks by a Bengals player, which is absolutely outstanding for his first year there for a single season. It was incredible. I mean, there was a lot of questions when Trey Hendrickson was signed because, A, you know, you let Carl Lawson walk. So you have to compare the two. Now, obviously, it's unfortunate that Carl Lawson tore his ACL and he's going to be out for the year, or it might have been his Achilles. I knew it was a leg injury, but either way, Trey Hendrickson being there, I mean, he's durable. He's out there every single game, and just, man, he just creates havoc. He's getting pressure pretty much every single play, and that's something you didn't see from the Bengals, you know, for probably 5 or 6 years, is a consistent pressure, and that's what separates this defense from years past to now. It's just the amount of pressure that they put on the quarterback and the amount of times they get into the backfield. And that's massive. And it's massive for keeping the defense off of the field, because this defense isn't I wouldn't say a world beater, but I would say that this defense is solid and it's good enough that if you can keep them off the field and keep them fresh, they'll be able to win your games. And they have before, and they will continue to do that.
All right. And I want to move along now. Speaking of a former New Orleans Saint, we move along now to Von Bell. Von had 3 tackles in this contest against the against the Bengals. And Von is someone that had some pretty solid seasons during his time in New Orleans. Unfortunately, they couldn't keep him. He comes over to Cincinnati, and similar to his teammate Trey, he's been pretty effective so far this year. Again, in the game against the Steelers, he had 3 tackles. Give me your thoughts on Von's play in the win against Pittsburgh, and so far how he's played in the 2021 season.
Von Bell, I mean, he fits right into this defense like a glove. I think he's really excelling in this leadership role that he has. I believe he is a captain. He definitely well deserves it. And, you know, just being able to have him be over to the top, you don't give these teams, you know, freedom to continually throw it. I mean, these receivers get scared. You saw, I know it wasn't Von Bell that hit him, but when they threw it over to Chase Claypool, Jesse Bates, you know, hit him as hard as he could, and Chase Claypool dropped the ball, and they didn't throw it across the field anymore. And Von Bell has a lot to do with that. He brings an attitude, he brings an energy, and he brings a nastiness that is something that the Bengals defense has been missing, and it's something that you need in the AFC North in order to survive. This Bengals team has that. And you just see Von Bell's attitude and his work ethic and his aggression, and it works all the way through the roster. And he's somebody that, you know, maybe stat-wise he's not doing incredible this year, or maybe compared to but last year, but he is one of the reasons why this defense is so good and why this defense is outperforming every single expectation that came in during this year.
All right, well, you're talking about a nastiness, and you need to have that playing in the AFC North. Mike Hilton, he played for the rival Pittsburgh Steelers for several years, and now this is his first year with the Cincinnati Bengals in the game against his former team, the Steelers. He had 2 tackles to go along with an interception. Give me your thoughts on Mike's performance in the game and his 2021 season so far.
I mean, again, it's another accomplishment of the front office. And I'll jump to Mike Hilton real quick, but I just want to make a point of the front office. You know, with the Bengals, obviously, through the years, all people really know, if they just follow the national media, is that, you know, we're cheap, or we don't go get the guys, or we don't do that, or we don't, you know, go out when we're cheap and we build through the draft. Well, these past 2 years, we're one of the highest spending teams on free agency, and Mike Hilton is a perfect example. So I think while the Bengals front office has deserved quite a bit of criticism, they've deserved it, I get that, but for the past 2 years, this front office has just absolutely knocked it out of the park. They've been doing really, really good in free agency, and it's showing. So then that back to Mike Hilton. I mean, number one, my first thought, how in the world did we even get him? Like, that is insane that the Steelers actually let him walk. And he's just been such an asset. I mean, he just plays so good against his former team. Two games against the Steelers, he's been absolutely lights out. And he pretty much got the game-sealing pick 6 on Ben Roethlisberger. He read that route perfectly. And by that time, Ben threw it. I mean, the game was over at that point. The stands were absolutely crazy. You didn't see many of those yellow towels anymore. Oh, my fire alarm just went off in my house.
Okay.
But it's probably just a smoke alarm. I'm going to I'll step out of here now. But basically, yeah, that's basically why it's been he's been so good. Sorry about this. I'm going to step out of the house real quick. But yeah, that's why Mike Hilton's.
All right, we'll give Josh an opportunity to try to get that situation straight just for a moment. Josh, are you good now?
Yeah, we are good. We are outside, and I think the fire alarm's getting reset right now.
Okay, restart what you were saying about the front office with the Bengals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So when you're talking about the front office with the Bengals, a lot of the national media has – I mean, the national media basically is the Bengals are cheap. They don't spend money. They don't sign guys. They don't go through free agency. They do things on pennies on the dollar and the bare minimum. Well, the past 2 years, that hasn't been the case. They've truly changed what they've basically done in the span of over two years. They've completely changed their philosophy. And that is just something that's absolutely amazing to watch, especially as a Bengals fan. So when the criticism that the front office got, it's been well deserved. They've done a lot that, you know, have been, you know, just absolutely against what the fans really wanted. I mean, keeping Marvin Lewis is probably definitely up there, and then obviously it goes all the way back to the stadium deal, where it kind of screwed over a lot of Cincinnatians. But now that these past 2 years, they've done exactly what we thought they would do. They've spent some free agency. They've gone after guys. They've been aggressive. They've signed their star guys. They signed Joe Mixon. They signed Von Bell. They signed Mike Hilton. They signed Trey Henderson. They signed Sam Hubbard. So the front office, as much criticism as they deserve, a lot, they deserve the praise as well. And I think this year and last year, they definitely deserve that praise.
Yeah, rightfully so. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, give the front office a lot of credit with signing someone that played for the division rival, and that's Mike Hilton, and he's definitely paid off big dividends, and definitely the front office, they're showing what it takes to compete in the division and in the NFL. I want to move along now to the other one of the elements in the secondary, and that's Eli Apple. He had two tackles and an interception in the win over the Steelers. Now, Eli Apple has faced a lot of criticism throughout his career, and you know his time in New York with the Giants was under a lot of scrutiny during his time in New York, and then his time with the New Orleans Saints, he was under even more scrutiny as well. But right now, he seems to have picked up his play in a new city in Cincinnati. Just give me your thoughts on Eli and his play in 2021.
So when you look at Eli Apple, I think a lot of people need to reset their expectations. For one, it's not supposed to be Eli Apple out there. He's supposed to be the second string. It's supposed to be Trey Waynes. However, Trey Waynes has been nothing but an absolute, you know, just injury ridden. He could never get out on the field. So now it's Eli Apple's turn to be the first string. So I think a lot of Bengals fans, they have to reset their expectations with Eli Apple. You can't really be expecting him to be locked down all the time. That's just not who he is. You know, and he was drafted a lot higher out of Ohio State than probably his worth. But that being said, he's really stepped up after the bye. He has faced a lot of criticism this year, and a good amount of it's been deserved. He's been pretty much, you know, he's been probably the weakest link of the defense, definitely the secondary, but probably the defense when he's out there. But in back-to-back games, he's made game-changing plays. He's been really solid on defensively, and he's been great. And the team, you can tell the team, when Eli Apple was getting all that criticism, you can tell the team rallied around him. And instead of, you know, pointing fingers or anything, this team came together and they helped Eli Apple out. Probably Eli Apple was in the film room a lot more. He's probably in the weight room a lot more, getting more reps. And you can see it. I mean, he's playing far better. He doesn't look like Eli Apple out there. He looks like a first stringer. So I'm nothing but happy that he was able to figure it out. And you know, let's get rolling. And hopefully this defense, you know, continues to strengthen and grow. And hopefully he continues to strengthen and grow.
All right, let's move along now to a couple of other players that had sacks in the game, B.J. Hill, and you mentioned his name earlier, Sam Hubbard. Just give me your thoughts on B.J. and Sam and how they played in this game and how their 2021 season's gone so far.
I'll start with B.J. Hill. Well, first, we got him right before right during the draft. And it's something that the Bengals don't do, and again, this is another front office move that we don't see, and the Bengals don't trade at the not the deadline, the draft, and they traded Billy Price, who's his second string center, who we pretty much got nothing out of, who we drafted first round, I believe it was 2015 or 2016, and we've gotten basically absolutely nothing out of him. And they traded him for B.J. Hill, and B.J. Hill came in and made an immediate impact. He's been playing so well. He's just completely stacked up the interior of the line. Not a lot of it. The question was for B.J. Hill is, can he keep it up through the year? And obviously he can. He's still playing good, and he's still getting rushes. He's still getting to the quarterback. And this defensive line is scary. I don't know why, as an offense, you would be excited to play this defensive line, because they're terrifying. Because you got B.J. Hill, you got Trey Hendrick on the left, and then let's bring it over to Sam Hubbard. Sam Hubbard has been here. He's seen a lot of losing, but I'll tell you, he has gotten better every single year I've seen him. I was one of the contrarians this year when Sam Hubbard was paid. I thought he was paid a little too high, and I thought that the Bengals could have probably got somebody that was maybe either straight at the line or maybe a level below him for a lot less. But I was wrong. I was wrong. The Bengals made another great move in signing him long-term. He's been nothing short of incredible. And his pressure, with him, and Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard together on the end, I mean, they just create constant pressure. And the chemistry within inside the line that allows them to do stunts, allows them to blitz, allows them to do things they haven't been able to do in the past. And they've been able to allow our defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, to be creative because of how good they've been. You know, it's just I'm over the moon that those guys are the ones that are on our ends and at our defensive line. But yeah, Sam Hubbard's been nothing but has been great this year, and hopefully he keeps going and keeps that defense rolling.
All right, and then the leading tackler in this game with the Bengals beating the Steelers was Logan Wilson, 6 tackles. I mean, Logan was all over the place in this contest. Give me your thoughts on Logan's play against the Steelers in his 2021 season.
Mark it down now. Logan Wilson is going to be at least a 6-time Pro Bowler at the very least, and probably a 10-time Pro Bowler at the most. This guy has all of the elite talent attributes, and he's only in his second year. He's basically taken that position and he's ran with it. He can tackle out in open space. He can cover. He can make plays on the ball. He can pick it off. For a while, Logan Wilson led the NFL in the interceptions. And, you know, that's not common for a linebacker of his stature or his speed, but his covering ability, and then on top of that, his blitzing ability is nothing short of amazing. So I'm telling you, mark it down now. Buy your stock in Logan Wilson now. I love the pick when we got him in the third round. I believe it's an absolute steal, and it might still be the steal of that draft when we got him with Joe Burrow. He's just been absolutely nuts, and hopefully we're gonna keep seeing him grow. But he's already having an elite season. I would say I would probably vote for him this year. I was a betting man. I would say he gets an invite to the Pro Bowl at least this year or next year. But he's absolutely been incredible, and I think the Bengals finally found an answer in their linebacking room, which has been a question for so many years. And he just makes plays, and he brings it again. It's a nastiness that this roster hasn't had in a very long time, and he's one of those guys that brings it every single day.
All right, and then we move along now to, you know, the NFL is all about the quarterbacks, and definitely Cincinnati, they have their man, their franchise quarterback in Joe Burrow. We know of his fantastic senior year at LSU, winning the national championship, him alongside Jamar Chase, and of course Minnesota Viking Justin Jefferson. And Burrow, I mean, came in and took the city of Cincinnati by storm. We know he's an Ohio guy, so we know about the history of him growing up in that community in the plains of Ohio. The injury last year, oh wow, I remember watching that game. That was hard. That was horrific right there, tearing the ACL and the MCL in his left knee and also sustaining other damage. So I didn't think he was going to be ready for week one, but he showed up, and, you know, so far so good. He's played very effectively this year. Joe finished this game. He completed 20 out of 24 passes for 190 yards, and he had a touchdown and an interception. Just give me your thoughts on Joe's play in the win against the Steelers.
I mean, if you just look at that, I mean, you said exactly. Like, not many people thought he was going to be ready by week one. I mean, this kid's got the heart of a lion. That's exactly what he's got. And he's got this swagger and this confidence about him that every single day he feels like he's going to go out there and he's going to be the best on the field. And again, it's not a cockiness. It's that he's going to go out there and perform and do it well. And I think I got to say, a lot of Joe Burrow's success can be directly correlated with Zach Taylor and how good Zach Taylor has done preparing him. Last year, Zach Taylor prepared him when there wasn't even an off season. There was no minicamp. There was no OTAs. And Joe Burrow came in ready to roll, and it seemed like Joe Burrow knew the offense and he was ready to control it. And he gets a lot. And in between the ears, Joe Burrow is just so smart, and his anticipation is incredible. And that's where he makes up for in maybe lack of arm strength or maybe lack of speed or. But his anticipation, his completion percentage, his knowing of the game is absolutely insane. It's off the charts. So, I mean, he's got the heart of a lion. He's the reason that this team is continually going. And he's the reason that we're getting a lot of free agency of picks. He is the Cincinnati Bengals' face of the franchise. And I think he knows that. And I think everybody else knows that. And, I definitely know that, and I think this city knows that. And I think he's just taken this challenge and ran with it. He's an Ohio kid. He's from Athens, blue collar, and worked his ass off through Ohio State. Didn't find a great situation there. Transferred to LSU. You know, has obviously a lot of people like look to just the senior season. They look to his junior year. His junior year, he was also really good too. But then he goes and has a magical senior year, and then. Last year, like I said, I mean, you gave me flashbacks right there of the knee injury, which I did not want to think about. But again, he's just fought back, and it's something great to see. And as Bengals fans, it's great knowing that we have our guy. You know, with Andy Dalton, he played here for a very long time, but it never felt like he was going to elevate the rest of the team just by him being a quarterback. But I truly believe that Joe Burrow is like an Aaron Rodgers. He's like a Tom Brady. He's one of these guys that's going to elevate everybody around him, and that's what you need to win a Super Bowl.
I want to stay with Joe for a moment. I know that the city of Cincinnati was in fever pitch when he was drafted number one overall in the 2020 NFL draft. Josh, I got to ask you, where were you when you heard the news that Joe had been drafted by the Bengals, and what were your thoughts?
So I was at my buddy's place up in Columbus, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was just sweating. I'm like, I know they're going to pick Joey B, but obviously if you're a fan of Cincinnati sports, you know a lot of it ends in heartbreak. So I'm just sitting there waiting, and then finally here comes Roger Goodell in his big freaking leather chair, and quarterback Joe Burrow, LSU. And it's just – once he said that, I leapt off the couch. I ran throughout the whole house. My friend's dog was chasing me the entire time. I got tackled by pretty much everybody in the house. I was going insane. And it was just finally like, okay, here's our guy. And then we went on to have another really good draft class. And you know, a lot of those guys are still here with the team, and they're still playing well. And, you know, again, I point out Logan Wilson. He's a guy that – has been playing really, really well. And then you can throw in Kali Kareem, throw in T. Higgins as well. It's just absolutely been incredible. So Joe Burrow's just really, I mean, I was going insane. That was pretty much it. And my next thought was, oh, my God, we've got to be able to protect this guy.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, the NFL, again, is a league of quarterbacks. It's an offensive-minded era, and we're definitely in the golden age of quarterbacks, and definitely Joe Burrow has all the potential in the world. And I want to stay just with the city of Cincinnati for a moment. How has the city of Cincinnati responded to Joe being their quarterback?
Oh, I mean, we're riding the wave. Because it's kind of different, because when I've been alive for – basically, mostly my quarterbacks have been Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton. Those have been my consistent quarterbacks. And, you know, as a NFL fan, that's pretty good, because the Browns, I mean, have had, you know, quarterbacks, you know, that go all the way down the list. I mean, Santa's list isn't as big as the quarterback list for the Cleveland Browns. But that being said, there was always a controversy with the quarterbacks. There's always been like, no, he's actually not good enough, or he's better. There is no controversy with Joe. Everybody knows this is the guy. He is the best that we could have gotten. he's our guy. We're riding with him. That's it. You know, ball game. We're ride or die with our guys. And it's just so amazing to see the city of Cincinnati do. And to see also my alma mater, University of Cincinnati, also have shared the same exact success and be able to have a 12-0 college football team and then also have a Bengals team that, you know, not only are they in the thick of the playoff, they control their own destiny. They can go out and win the AFC North. They can secure a playoff spot within the next coming weeks. It's been so amazing to see. And the city of Cincinnati has definitely picked up, and the football fever is second to none. It is at a pitch level high.
You mentioned Cincinnati and really the state of Ohio, and Joe Burrow makes no bones about it that even though he considers Baton Rouge is like his adopted hometown, but Joe, as you mentioned earlier, is an Ohio kid through and through. And he also mentioned about the plight of his hometown in the plains of Ohio and the poverty. He talked about in his Heisman speech about the poverty rate, and it has one of the lowest poverty rates in the nation. And he also talks about just people that are blue collar and working class, and you mentioned it earlier. Do you have a reaction about how people in the plains have responded to Joe's success? Not just at his time at LSU, but more importantly as him being the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, and what things has he done in order to give back to his hometown?
That is a topic in and of itself. I mean, the way that Joe spoke and the way that he brought it up in his biggest moment when he won the Heisman, Joe came out and he spoke exactly about that. And the city of Cincinnati and really the United States responded with donating to a huge amount of money to the Athens Food Pantry. And you know, it's just so amazing to see, okay, wow, this guy has humility. He's humble. He knows where he came from, and he knows what he can do with this platform. Again, that's a quarterback that knows what the deal is, because there's a lot of quarterbacks. You can be really good on the field, but if you're not good off the field, you can't really survive in this league because you don't really know how to act in the NFL. And I go back to two moments where I really knew Joe Burrow was the guy and how he carried himself. Like, this is going to be our face of the franchise. It was when that specific moment when he won the Heisman and he spoke out for the food pantry. And then also it was when the George Floyd situation came down, and there was, you know, riots going all around the city, and it was getting, you know, to a heated moment. And then Joe Burrow spoke out and spoke just so eloquently and spoke with, you know, in front of the world, and basically stood with all of his teammates and stood with the city of Cincinnati and stood with everybody. And he was able to mend the world. And no matter what you thought of those situations, so no matter where you stand, what your stance was, you could look at that guy and was like, wow, this guy's a rookie. And he's standing in front of his team and he's giving an incredible speech. And they chose Joe to do that. So that's the type of respect that he commanded in that locker room from day one. And it's just so amazing to see. So Joe Burrow is the guy through and through. And those two moments, and then obviously a lot more from him playing and him, you know, speaking and being the face of the franchise. He does it quite well.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that was a moving speech when he accepted his Heisman, and then immediately when he got drafted by the Bengals, definitely very moving, and then definitely providing some inspiration and some hope to his hometown of the Plains in Ohio, as well as providing some inspiration to the city of Cincinnati. And while we're talking now, moving on to the city of Cincinnati, Ken Anderson, Boomer Esiason, Jeff Blake, John Kitna, the gentleman you mentioned earlier, Carson Palmer, and Andy Dalton were all respected quarterbacks in the history of the Cincinnati Bengals. In your opinion, I know this is only Joe's second year in the league, but what do you think is going to make him different from all the rest of the other quarterbacks that I mentioned?
I think personally, number one, my first thought is I do completely believe that Joe Burrow will be the best quarterback to ever come through Cincinnati. I think he's the best, bar none. That's it. But I think what makes him so good is what is in between the ears. Not only is how smart he is on the field, he improvises so much. A lot of the scoring plays that Zach Taylor may have drawn up, you go back after the press conference, you see a lot of it was an audible that was Joe Burrow's choice because he saw something in the defense that he didn't like. And those are the qualities that you need to be a superstar quarterback. He has all that. And then on top of that, his playmaking ability is second to none. You saw it against the Steelers on the very first touchdown where Joe Burrow juked out Minkah Fitzpatrick on his first touchdown run on, you know, he tore his ACL last year. He juked out. And that ACL pair didn't look like it was bothering him too much. And it's the combination of his playmaking ability with in between the ears. And then on top of that, it's his swagger. It's his command. He has so much respect. And like I said, he earned that respect from day one when he walked into the room. And that was just something so amazing that to watch. So I think that just his respect and his ability to do those things, because he's not going to – my fire alarm's going off again. Oh, my gosh. This is ridiculous. So basically that's why I think Joe Burrow will be probably the best quarterback to ever come through Cincinnati.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents. When you have that, you have to hold on to it and cherish them and definitely enjoy them while you have them. So definitely Joe Burrow making his mark in such a short amount of time with Cincinnati. All right, Ryan, let's get right to it. So now the Bengals have got a game coming up against the Los Angeles Chargers, and it's another home game for the Bengals. And the Bengals defense have got to prepare for last year's Offensive Rookie of the Year, and he's an MVP candidate, Mr. Justin Herbert, but he doesn't come alone because he's got a lot of great offensive talent with Austin Eckler. There's Keenan Allen. There's Mike Williams. There's Jared Cook. What do you think the keys to victory will be for the Bengals defense to stop the Charger offense led by Justin Herbert?
I think you nailed it right on the head. I mean, the Chargers are a really good football team. They're a really young team. I think they're a team that they're still feeling out their superstars. They're feeling out where they need to go directionally and what they need to do. So I would say that the Chargers are probably maybe a year away from really competing, but they're still a really, really good team. They're a team that puts up consistent numbers. I mean, they're a team that beat Cleveland when we got beat by them 45-7. So what we're going to have to do as a defense is we're going to have to get off of the field on these third and short situations. And so when it's third and six, third and seven, you have to find a way to get off of the field. You've got to keep your defense fresh. If you start to get tired, and Justin Herbert will just pick you apart. And then on top of that, I think it goes with the scheme. I think Lou Anarumo, our defensive coordinator, needs to draw up a scheme in order to limit Justin Herbert, make him throw uncomfortably, and then also you got to get pressure. You got to get pressure from both of your ends. You can't let this offensive line – you can't let them establish a ground game. You got to get disruption early. But honestly, on top of that, I think if you can do that, I don't know how good the Chargers' defense is, and they haven't really shown that they are that good. So if the Bengals' defense can at least contain the Chargers' offense, I think the Bengals are going to come out with a victory. But it's going to be a really good game. It's going to be a really good test, and I'm excited for it.
All right, let's move along now to the other side of the football. We have the Bengals offense, of course, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase, and Tyler Boyd, and also T. Higgins. That Bengals offense is in no small potatoes by any means. They're going to have to go up against that Charger defense. They've got a few stars of their own, too. They've got Joey Bosa, there's Chris Harris, and you can't forget about Derwin James, who's just a monster out in the secondary. What, in your opinion, Josh, what are the keys to victory for the Bengals to get points against the Charger defense?
I think honestly, it's basically that what the Bengals have to do is they have to not throw away big opportunities. So basically, like when Eli Apple got that interception really early in the game against the Steelers, they brought it back and the Bengals only came out with a field goal, even though they were down inside the five. That can't happen. The Bengals have had a consistent problem with throwing away opportunity and just getting a field goal. Now, points are points, I get that. But when you're facing a team that scores as much as the Chargers do, basically what you have to do, you have to score touchdowns. And you got to continue to do that over and over in this game. And then on top of that, you got to be able to establish a consistent ground game. And it's what they did against the Steelers. And I think the Chargers right now, I believe, are dead last in run defense. And while they do have some really good key pieces, I think the Bengals can really stack up and they can really start getting their ground game going like they did against the Steelers. If they ran like they did last week, I think the Bengals will be okay. But they can't throw away good field position. They got to be able to capitalize on every opportunity. And on top of that, I mean, as good as we think Joe Burrow is, and as good as I think he is, he needs to watch his turnovers. Again, he's one of the leaders in interceptions, so I believe he has 12 now. You know, and a lot of that has to do with him taking shots, but on top of that, you can't be throwing away interceptions. You can't be throwing away good field position. You can't be throwing away, you know, big drives where we need a touchdown, where we need a score, and he, you know, throws the ball away. So he's got to be able to limit those. So if the offense can do that, they can keep the ball to us, and then whenever the Chargers turn it over, we can turn that into points. I think the Bengals offense will have a pretty good day, and they'll be all right.
All right, and you heard it from him. He is Josh Miller. He is the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. Josh, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Just tell everybody what you do as the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show and what's it all about.
Thank you, Ed, first of all, so much for having me on, and I'm so sorry about the fire alarms going off. I don't know what exactly was going on. So, but other than that, basically you can find me on any sort of podcast network, the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show, and then you can also find blogs about the Cincinnati Bengals on fansided.com. If you head over to Stripe Hype, you can find specific blogs by me. You can find all sorts of blogs by Fansided authors, and then you can read about the Bengals. Then also on top of that, if you go to Fansided, you can read all about any sort of sport and any sort of team. Then on top of that, if that doesn't tickle your funny bone and you want to learn a little bit more about the college football playoff, every Wednesday I have a breaking down the college football playoffs. So after they come out tonight, we'll be breaking them down tomorrow. And then also on top of that, every Tuesday and Thursday, I will have a episode about the Cincinnati Bengals. So we have a pretty packed schedule, and there should be a new blog coming out tomorrow. So hopefully you guys all can read it. And that's basically where you can find me. Oh, and you can also follow me at @BackRowBengals on Twitter.
Awesome. One more again, Josh. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media, where they can find the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show, and if you have any websites, let them know that as well.
Yes, sir. So you can find me on Twitter at @BackRowBengals, and then also you can go and find my blogs, www.fansided.com. You go over there, head over to the Bengals side of this website, and that'll be there. It should be called Stripe Hype. And then you can find my podcast anywhere that you find podcasts, so that'd be Apple Pods, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, Google Podcasts, any sort of place you can find podcasts, you'll find mine. And you go there, you can find, you can listen in. Then also you can subscribe on YouTube at Back Row Bengals as well. So that's basically all where you can find me right there.
One more question before I let you go. What foods can be found at a Cincinnati Bengals tailgate?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I mean, obviously, you can never go wrong with homemade Skyline Chili. That's usually my favorite go-to. I mean, it's just perfect. And I know everybody hates on it, but I love it. I love it. You get a nice, you know, ladle of chili, put it right on some spaghetti or hot dogs, you're good to go. That melted cheese, delicious. But you know, a lot of people do wings. I know that wings are huge down here. And there was a lot of really, really good tailgate food here, but I would say Skyline Chili is their number one.
All right, and you heard it from him. He is Josh Miller, the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show. Josh, again, thank you so much, and if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Anytime, man. Really, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I appreciate you. We'll be back with more right after this.
Ready?
It's a second down and 5, and here goes Mixon with an ISO over that left side and blocking downfield. One of the blockers, Jamar Chase.
Mixon getting off to a great start here. The left side of the offensive line, he's able to get through there. Bush comes up and only gets a hand on him.
Second goal. Burrow, Mixon, and digging his way, and touchdown. There he goes.
Hey, Randy, what you doing?
Oh, hey, Dave. I'm just making a list of things that make me feel really, really good.
Wearing Bombas socks.
Trust me, that's number one on my list. Bombas socks feel so good because we use the smartest design and best materials, making them the most comfortable socks ever.
Plus, because socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters, we donate a pair for every pair purchased, and that feels pretty good, too.
To shop Bombas or learn more about how your purchase supports those experiencing homelessness, go to bombas.com/comfy and get 20% off your first purchase.
Stella Rosa wines already have favorites who enjoy. They're fun, they're flavored, always good to give and enjoy. And this season, they're helping you celebrate with something special. $500 for you after a hectic, crazy year. You could use it, but $500 also to give to anyone you want to. Maybe someone needs the extra boost right now. Enter to win it. Visit StellaRosaWines.com/wish. Must be 21 or older to enter. No purchase necessary. And please, celebrate responsibly.
Celebrate this holiday season with Stella Rosa Wines and make sure you celebrate bigger than ever before. That means not only picking up your usual Stella Rosas, but also grabbing a few bottles of the full sparkling wines like Stella Rosa Black Lux and Moscato Rosé. Just like all Stella Rosa wines, they pair beautifully with any food, any crowd, and any jolly occasion. Pick up your Stella Rosa sparkling wines today.
Celebrate!
Please celebrate responsibly.
When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at Noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit Noggin.com for terms and conditions. When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at Noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit Noggin.com for terms and conditions.
Stella Rosa Wines is giving you another reason to celebrate this holiday season. You have the chance at winning $500 for yourself. And surprise a loved one of yours by giving them $500 of their own. Just text WISH to 60688 to enter. Must be 21 plus. Standard message and data rates apply. Please celebrate responsibly.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa!
When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at Noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit Noggin.com for terms and conditions. When it comes to learning, your kids' favorites from Paw Patrol and Blue's Clues are Noggin, a learning app designed to help kids build math and literacy skills. Claim a limited-time holiday offer of 99 cents a month plus taxes for 3 months at Noggin.com/iHeart. $7.99 a month plus taxes until you cancel after free trial ends. Visit Noggin.com for terms and conditions.
Socks are the number one most requested item at homeless shelters. Underwear second, and shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear, and shirts too. All designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.
When you love your team, you spend every moment wondering what they're doing. Well, stop wondering. Get Contour TV from Cox. And follow them anywhere, anytime with the Contour app. Plus, use your voice remote to search and filter games or record one that starts past bedtime. Because even a 24/7 fan has to sleep occasionally. Learn more at cox.com/sports.
Stella Rosa Wines is giving you another reason to celebrate this holiday season. You have the chance at winning $500 for yourself. And surprise a loved one of yours by giving them $500 of their own. Just text WISH to 60688 to enter. Must be 21 plus. Standard message and data rates apply. Please celebrate responsibly.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa!
Stella Rosa Wines is giving you another reason to celebrate this holiday season. You have the chance at winning $500 for yourself. And surprise a loved one of yours by giving them $500 of their own. Just text WISH to 60688 to enter. Must be 21 plus. Standard message and data rates apply. Please celebrate responsibly.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa!
Joe likes to keep things simple, but with a kid in college, a job, side hustle, 401k, two mortgages, and a boat he's looking to use a whole lot more this year, Joe's finances are anything but simple. That's why Joe's financial advisor uses InvestNet to connect it all and manage his day-to-day finances while keeping an eye on his family's future. With insight from InvestNet, Joe is living an intelligent financial life. InvestNet, fully vested.
Celebrate this holiday season with Stella Rosa Wines and make sure you celebrate bigger than ever before. That means not only picking up your usual Stella Rosas, but also grabbing a few bottles of the full sparkling wines like Stella Rosa Black Lux and Moscato Rosé. Just like all Stella Rosa wines, they pair beautifully with any food, any crowd, and any jolly occasion. Pick up your Stella Rosa sparkling wines today.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa.
Please celebrate
response. Julie runs a bustling small batch coffee roaster. She's got a cafe, retail business, online store, and tasting classes. In short, Julie's finances are complicated. So Julie's financial advisor uses InvestNet to connect and make sense of it all for today and tomorrow. Julie is living an intelligent financial life with insight from InvestNet so she can look at the vision she's grown. From the coffee grounds up, InvestNet, fully vested.
Celebrate this holiday season with Stella Rosa Wines and make sure you celebrate bigger than ever before. That means not only picking up your usual Stella Rosas, but also grabbing a few bottles of the full sparkling wines like Stella Rosa Black Lux and Moscato Rosé. Just like all Stella Rosa wines, they pair beautifully with any food, any crowd, and any jolly occasion. Pick up your Stella Rosa sparkling wines today.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa!
Please celebrate responsibly. Stella Rosa Wines is giving you another reason to celebrate this holiday season. You have the chance at winning $500 for yourself. And surprise a loved one of yours by giving them $500 of their own. Just text WISH to 60688 to enter. Must be 21 plus. Standard message and data rates apply. Please celebrate responsibly.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa!
Stella Rosa wines already a favorite to enjoy. They're fun, they're flavored, always good to give and enjoy. And this season, they're helping you celebrate with something special. $500 for you after a hectic, crazy year. You could use it, but $500 also to give to anyone you want to. Maybe someone needs the extra boost right now. Enter to win it. Visit StellaRosaWines.com/wish. Must be 21 or older to enter. No purchase necessary. And please celebrate responsibly.
Stella Rosa Wines is giving you another reason to celebrate this holiday season. You have the chance at winning $500 for yourself. And surprise a loved one of yours by giving them $500 of their own. Just text WISH to 60688 to enter. Must be 21 plus. Standard message and data rates apply. Please celebrate responsibly.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa!
Celebrate this holiday season with Stella Rosa Wines and make sure you celebrate bigger than ever before. That means not only picking up your usual Stella Rosas, but also grabbing a few bottles of the full sparkling wines like Stella Rosa Black Lux and Moscato Rosé. Just like all Stella Rosa wines, they pair beautifully with any food, any crowd, and any jolly occasion. Pick up your Stella Rosa sparkling wines today.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa!
Please celebrate responsibly. Stella Rosa Wines is giving you another reason to celebrate this holiday season. You have the chance at winning $500 for yourself. And surprise a loved one of yours by giving them $500 of their own. Just text WISH to 60688 to enter. Must be 21 plus. Standard message and data rates apply. Please celebrate responsibly.
Celebrate! Stella Rosa!
Stella Rosa wines already a favorite to enjoy. They're fun, they're flavored, always good to give and enjoy. And this season, they're helping you celebrate with something special. $500 for you after a hectic, crazy year. You could use it, but $500 also to give to anyone you want to. Maybe someone needs the extra boost right now. Enter to win it. Visit StellaRosaWines.com/wish. Must be 21 or older to enter. No purchase necessary. And please celebrate responsibly.
Joe likes to keep things simple, but with a kid in college, a job, side hustle, 401k, two mortgages, and a boat he's looking to use a whole lot more this year, Joe's finances are anything but simple. That's why Joe's financial advisor uses InvestNet to connect it all and manage his day-to-day finances while keeping an eye on his family's future. With insight from InvestNet, Joe is living an intelligent financial life. InvestNet, fully vested. Julie runs a bustling small-batch coffee roaster. She's got a cafe, retail business, online store, and tasting classes. In short, Julie's finances are complicated. So Julie's financial advisor uses InvestNet to connect and make sense of it all for today and tomorrow. Julie is living an intelligent financial life with insight from InvestNet so she can look at the vision she's grown from the coffee grounds up. InvestNet, fully vested. Joe likes to keep things simple, but with a kid in college, a job, side hustle, 401k, two mortgages, and a boat he's looking to use a whole lot more this year, Joe's finances are anything but simple. That's why Joe's financial advisor uses InvestNet to connect it all and manage his day-to-day finances while keeping an eye on his family's future. With insight from InvestNet, Joe is living an intelligent financial life. InvestNet, fully vested.
Stella Rosa Wines, already a favorite to enjoy. They're fun, they're flavored, always good to give and enjoy. And this season, they're helping you celebrate with something special. $500 for you after a hectic, crazy year. You could use it, but $500 also to give to anyone you want to. Maybe someone needs the extra boost right now. Enter to win it. Visit StellaRosaWines.com/wish. Must be 21 or older to enter. No purchase necessary. And please, celebrate responsibly.
Julie runs a bustling small-batch coffee roaster. She's got a cafe, retail business, online store, and tasting classes. In short, Julie's finances are complicated, so Julie's financial advisor uses InvestNet to connect and make sense of it all for today and tomorrow. Julie is living an intelligent financial life with insight from InvestNet, so she can look at the vision she's grown from the coffee grounds up. InvestNet, fully vested. Joe likes to keep things simple, but with a kid in college, a job, side hustle, 401k, two mortgages, and a boat he's looking to use a whole lot more this year, Joe's finances are anything but simple. That's why Joe's financial advisor uses InvestNet to connect it all and manage his day-to-day finances while keeping an eye on his family's future. With insight from InvestNet, Joe is living an intelligent financial life. InvestNet, fully vested.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Josh Miller, host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals show, giving us the 411 on what's currently happening with the National Football League, Cincinnati Bengals, and some cool stuff happening with them. And also telling us about his favorite tailgate snack, Skyline Chili. Gotta love it. All right, let's get right to Week 13's most important games in the NFL. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints. Trouble for both teams. Let's start off in the Big D right now. Currently, Mike McCarthy will not coach in this game. He was stricken with COVID-19, so defensive coordinator Dan Quinn will take over the head coaching duties in the game against the Saints. Ezekiel Elliott not expected to play in this game. They're going to give him rest due to a knee issue, so Tony Pollard most likely will get the start for the Cowboys. Regardless, Tony Pollard has played well this year, and Tony Pollard could be the X factor in this contest as Dallas travels to one of the toughest places to play in the NFL and at the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans to take on the Saints. Taysom Hill will be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Of course, last week he received a big contract, becoming the highest paid backup quarterback in the NFL, but the Saints have had troubles of their own, injuries to Alvin Kamara, also injuries to other impact players on the team. Kamara may play in the Thursday night game. We don't know how that situation is going to be, but regardless, both teams are in desperate need of a win. This is a must-win game for both Dallas and New Orleans. Dallas, the first 2.5 months of the season, they were on a serious roll. They look destined to possibly win the NFC, but then again, injuries and also COVID cases and things of that nature have really reversed the fortunes of that team, and they're in desperate they're in trouble of possibly not winning the NFC East and possibly not even finishing atop of the NFC. So this is a must-win game. If this is a turnaround game to get the season back on track, this would be the game against the New Orleans Saints. As for the Saints, they're fighting for their playoff lives as well. They're not too far behind Tampa, but time is running out, and they got to get things done. And hopefully Taysom Hill can be the quarterback that will spark this Saints offense and get things done. I tell you one thing, Thursday night, it's going to be a rocking matchup down in New Orleans between the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints. I want us to, next matchup is going to be an NFC South showdown between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons. First for the Buccaneers, a come-from-behind win over the Indianapolis Colts. Again, Leonard Fournette, he showed up and showed out in this game, scoring touchdowns in this contest. Tom Brady played a fairly decent game in this one. Defensively, Tampa, well, what can you say? It's a typical Tampa Bay defense. I mean, Tampa, their defense hasn't been great this year, but thank God offensively, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers offense have really stepped up, particularly with the likes of Leonard Fournette, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and, of course, Rob Gronkowski, who really had a big game against the Colts. As for the Atlanta Falcons, the Falcons pulled off a close one over the Jacksonville Jaguars, 21-14. Now, you've got Cordarrelle Patterson, who most likely will be going to a Pro Bowl representing the Falcons for the NFC. He has really been Mr. Everything for this Falcon offense. Kyle Pitts has played nicely, but Cordarrelle has really been the one that's really set the tone for the Falcons offense in the absence of Calvin Ridley, who's currently out due to getting some mental health issues taken care of. Atlanta's defense has been so-so this year, much like Tampa's defense has been so-so. I tell you one thing, I expect this game to be an offensive showdown, an offensive matchup. Buccaneers and Falcons is going to be a pretty good one down in the ATL. Next game is going to be the Los Angeles Chargers versus the Cincinnati Bengals. This is the battle of the future in the NFL, Justin Herbert versus Joe Burrow. Justin Herbert, the league's offensive rookie of the year last year, that Charger offense, really, really good. They didn't play well last week against the Broncos, but nevertheless, despite the loss, they're still capable of getting things done. And again, with the Charger offense, you have Austin Eckler, you've got Keenan Allen, you got Mike Williams, and yeah, the list goes on and on and on for the Charger offense. And Cincinnati's offense is no pushover, no small potatoes by any stretch of the imagination, with quarterback Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, who's a candidate for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Also, you got Tyler Boyd. There's also T. Higgins and, of course, running back Joe Mixon. So the Chargers and Bengals, they're going to be playing at Cincinnati outdoors. It's going to be a challenge for both quarterbacks, especially during this time of the year where the temperature's chilly in that part of the world in the Midwest in Cincinnati. So Chargers, Bengals, Herbert versus Burrow is going to be a great, and the future is now between these exciting quarterbacks. Next matchup is going to be an interesting game that we have. It's going to be between the Washington football team and the Las Vegas Raiders. The Washington football team and the Las Vegas Raiders. For the Washington football team, again, one thing about the Washington football team, they come in and they make plays. Their defense has been outstanding the last three games, led by Landon Collins, Deron Payne, also Matt Ioannidis, and of course, Kendall Fuller's played well as too. But let's also give a lot of credit to that offense as well. Taylor Heinicke, again, he's in prime position to want to be the franchise's starting quarterback. You've also had Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissic. That running game is nice as well. Wide receivers, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Carter's played well. For the Raiders, the Raiders are still trying to find themselves in the midst of all of this commotion AFC West. They won on Thanksgiving Day, beating the Cowboys 36-33. Again, was not a pretty game by the Raiders, but thanks to the discipline issues and poor defense by the Cowboys, the Raiders were able to take advantage of the situation and win the game. And you know, with the Washington and Raiders, Washington is in prime position where they could win out and win the NFC East. The Raiders are still has a they have a slight chance to win the AFC West. Tough division when you've got Denver, you've got Kansas City, and then you've got the Chargers in the mix as well. So, you know, Washington and the Raiders, this is going to be a shootout. This is going to be a good game. I expect a lot of the receivers to do big on both sides of the ball, from Terry McLaurin to DeAndre Carter, and, of course, on the other end with DeSean Jackson, Hunter Renfrow, especially Darren Waller. You know, Darren Waller, hopefully he'll be back for this game, but Washington and the Raiders should be an interesting game. Next game that I have that we're going to discuss is going to be the 49ers and the Seahawks. The 49ers are just riding a high right now. They were able to beat the Vikings in a close game, and then the week before that, they had a good one beating the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the 49ers currently on a three-game winning streak, and they're clicking on all cylinders right now. The offense is where it needs to be right now. Jimmy Garoppolo's been effective. The running game has been effective. Debo Samuel is expected to miss 1 to 2 weeks with a groin injury. But Eli Mitchell's played very well. Eli Mitchell has been nice. Of course, when you have George Kittle in the mix, you can always expect to get victories. And they're going to be playing an NFC West rival with the Seattle Seahawks. And you talk about a fall from grace with the Seattle Seahawks. Man, Russell Wilson, where's the offense? And where was DK Metcalf Monday night against Washington? He only had one catch for 13 yards. That's not good. And they got to change this thing around. The best chance that the Seahawks have is basically to win out. That's it. That's their best chance. Their best chance is they have to win out. They can't drop any more games, because if they lose one more game, they're in trouble. Their season's done. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Their season is done. And it's going to be a lot of questions with Seattle. Will Russell Wilson come back next year? Is the Pete Carroll era over with in Seattle? And then their defense hasn't been that good, with the exception of Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams. But, man, San Francisco and Seattle, you know, this is a make-or-break game for the Seahawks. This could be a game-saver for Seattle, could possibly save their season. Should be a dogfight up in the Pacific Northwest. Next game is going to be the Arizona Cardinals going up against the Chicago Bears. The Cardinals expecting Kyler Murray to be back, and if they don't have him back, let's just say that Kyler does come back from this game. He is going to be explosive, because this is a Bears defense that's depleted. They did beat the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day, but this is a defense that is in trouble. No Khalil Mack, done for the year. Akeem Hicks is hurt, so they are suffering on the defensive side. Yeah, the defense played well against Detroit, but this Arizona offense is a whole another animal with Zach Ertz. DeAndre Hopkins is expected to be back for this game, and the Cardinals, they're on a mission to try to get that top seed in the NFC, take it away from the Green Bay Packers. And of the Bears, it looks like as though Andy Dalton could be starting for this game. This is a do-or-die game for the Bears to stay alive in the NFC playoff race. Cardinals, Bears at Soldier Field, early December. Man, look, it's going to be chilly. Hopefully the Cardinals can adjust to this and get a victory at Soldier Field. Sunday Night Football, the Denver Broncos versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City coming off of the bye week after beating the Dallas Cowboys. They needed that victory to hold tight in that victory. Offensively, they haven't found it as of yet, but defensively, they've played well the last several games. As for the Denver Broncos, they beat the Los Angeles Chargers at home. They're a team that is fighting for their playoff life as well. Again, that AFC West has been very tight this year. Kansas City, Denver, Raiders, Chargers. Man, I tell you one thing, it's going to be a dogfight at Arrowhead, one of the loudest stadiums in the league. Hopefully, with the bye week, Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and that offense can get things done. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be back for this one. And Denver, we don't know the status of Teddy Bridgewater, if he's going to play or not. It looks like Drew Locke may get the start in this one. But Denver is not to be slept on, whether Teddy Bridgewater or no Teddy Bridgewater. Don't sleep on Denver. They're a team that can spoil some playoff hopes in this one, as they're trying to get some playoff hopes of their own as well. So Sunday night is going to be the Denver Broncos going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then we've got a new game with the Baltimore Ravens going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Baltimore-Pittsburgh, AFC North rivalry at the Pittsburgh, in downtown Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. Lamar Jackson going up against Ben Roethlisberger. What more could you ask for in this contest right here? First of all, last Sunday night was Baltimore going up against the Cleveland Browns. Lamar Jackson throws four interceptions, and they still win the game. How unreal is that? You throw four interceptions, and you still win the game. How real is that? But nevertheless, they're going up against a team in the Pittsburgh Steelers, embarrassed by the Cincinnati Bengals. Ben Roethlisberger, definitely not one of his best showings. He's looking to revamp his offense, looking to get back on track in this contest. And, man, I tell you what, AFC North, Heinz Field, downtown Pittsburgh, it's going to be hard-hitting, low-scoring. Anything and everything that you ask for in a classic NFL game in December, this is the game right here between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, of course, the Monday night game will be between the New England Patriots going up against the Buffalo Bills. New England, an impressive win over the Tennessee Titans at Foxborough. No one saw this coming, including me. I didn't see New England beating Tennessee like this. I mean, Mac Jones on his A game. Mac Jones was just flawless in this game. And give credit to Bill Belichick doing what he's doing with this rookie quarterback and with that solid running game and the defense that New England has. As for Buffalo, went down to New Orleans, embarrassed the Saints on Thanksgiving night, and now they're back home in the Buffalo area in Orchard Park, New York, looking to take down the division rival in the AFC East, the New England Patriots. We've got two young hotshot quarterbacks going up against each other. Mac Jones going up against Josh Allen. We've got Stephon Diggs. We got that New England secondary. It's going to be a great game. I know the weather's going to be very chilly up in western New York, just outside of Buffalo. Is going to be a great game. So week 13, check out my most important games. That's Dallas versus New Orleans, Tampa Bay versus Atlanta, the Chargers versus the Bengals, Ravens versus Steelers. You've got the Washington football team going up against the Las Vegas Raiders. San Francisco 49ers going up against the Seattle Seahawks. The Denver Broncos going up against the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots going up against the Buffalo Bills. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. The AFC North, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, this is a rivalry that's been hard-hitting, low-scoring, defense on top of defense, and this is where only the strong survives in this rivalry. You have to be beyond tough to play in this game. When I think of Ravens and Steelers, so many great names come to my mind, like Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and Haloti Ngata and Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark and Ike Taylor and Joey Porter and James Harrison, and the list goes on and on and on. Ravens and Steelers, man, this is you can add this game again to the continued storied rivalry between two teams that have a deep, deep disdain for one another, and also two teams that are led by two dynamic quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson and Ben Roethlisberger. Ben, he's taking it year by year. We don't know exactly how long he's going to be playing, but let's enjoy him while he's here. And we know this much is for certain. After getting embarrassed by the Bengals last week, we know Ben is going to come back and bring the heat. We know Ben is going to bring the heat. We know the Steelers are going to be bringing the heat with the running game and the defense. Again, no T.J. Watt in this game. He's going to be on the virus list. It doesn't matter. I think Pittsburgh will be okay in this game. As for Baltimore, it's going to be Lamar Jackson and then some. And also, too, a lot of Mark Andrews, his safety net at the tight end position, and also the wide receiver position with Hollywood Brown. And, of course, Baltimore defense that's really stepped up with the likes of Matthew Judon and Patrick Queen. So the stage is going to be set. It's going to be a late afternoon game on CBS between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You've got Lamar Jackson. You've got Ben Roethlisberger. You've got the Terrible Towels. You've got Ravens fans that are going to be making that trip to Pittsburgh. They travel pretty well. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, my game of the week. All right, now it's time for my winners on who I think will win Week 12's most important games. I'm going to start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints. It's going to be a very close game, but I like Dallas to pull it off in a close one. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the Atlanta Falcons. I like Tampa Bay to win that game. The Los Angeles Chargers going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. I like the Bengals to win that game. My game of the week between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers, I like Baltimore to win that game. Next game, the Washington football team going up against the Las Vegas Raiders. I like the Washington football team to win that one. We've got an NFC West rivalry game between the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. I like the San Francisco 49ers to win that one. Sunday night football, the Denver Broncos going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs offense will come back strong in this game. I like the Chiefs to win that game. And Monday night, the New England Patriots going up against the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo still riding a high off that Thanksgiving night win over the Saints. I like Buffalo to beat New England. So, again, my winners for Week 13's most important games are Dallas, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Washington, San Francisco, Kansas City, and Buffalo. So there you have it right there. Those are my picks for Week 13's, my winners for Week 13's most important games in the NFL. Once again, a big special thank you to Josh Miller, the host of the Back Row Cincinnati Bengals Show. It's the podcast dedicated to covering content related to the NFL's Cincinnati Bengals, giving us all the insights on what's currently going on with the Bengals. And until next week, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound. Talk to you again next week. So long, everyone.